Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 28 of Season 12 of our Minute Daily Podcast, where we dig our way through the 1994 Frank Darabont movie, The Shawshank Redemption, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Bubbly from It's Time to Rewind. Welcome back to the show, Bubba.
Hey, hey.
Well, hopefully we're done talking about different types of rocks. that's all I can say. So, minute 28 begins with Red explaining the way things work in prison, and ends with Red trying to get some anonymity. So, we left things off yesterday with Red starting to try to explain his comment to Andy as to why the sisters are not human. So, Red started by saying, "Bull queers take by force. It's all they want or understand. If I were you, I'd grow eyes in the back ear of my head." Andy looks at him and goes, "Thanks for the advice." He goes, "Well, that's free. You understand my concern." And he goes, "Well, if there's any trouble, I won't use the hammer." Yeah, that's a really easy thing to promise when you're in prison and you're concerned that you're going to get gang raped. I have this little rock hammer, so but don't worry, I'll never use it. You know, maybe I'll use the toothbrush that you gave me instead. You know, I don't know. It's just a little strange that you know, he so easily promises that he'll never use it, and the fact that Red accepts it is also a little strange, don't you think?
Yeah.
So, and I mean, again, they. We'll talk about this later in the week also about the joke of the size of the rock hammer, but it's still large enough to be a lethal weapon. You know, it's not like this.
Yeah, especially with the sharp point.
That's right. It's not like it's a little matchbox or something like that where, oh, maybe you can try and do something. No. So, yeah, I don't know. And then Red says to him, "Well, then I guess you want to escape. Tunnel under the wall or something, right?" And Andy starts laughing, and Red just looks at him and goes, "Did I miss something? What's so funny?" And he goes, "You'll understand when you get the rock hammer." Then Red says to him, "Well, what's an item like this usually go for?" And Andy goes, "Well, it's about $7 in any rock or gem store." Red then says, "My normal markup's about 20%, but this is a specialty item." So, first of all, I mean, he mentioned $7. How much do you think $7 in 1947 is worth according to inflation in 2026?
Let's see, 47. That is pretty big gap these days. Say that's probably at least 4 to 5 times. So probably close to $30.
You're very close. It's almost $34. That's pretty good. I don't believe that it would cost that much to buy one today, unless you're buying one, you know, unless you want to buy an antique, which would probably, I think I read somewhere that you can buy an antique for like a few hundred dollars, and I don't know if anybody really wants to use that. Yeah, it's a little strange, the whole thing.
I mean, I could see a high quality one going for 35, and then like a basic one, I could see one going for like 20, and then maybe a cheap one for 10.
Okay, so you're not that far off. A cheap one would be around $15. So you have the budget tier, which is $15 to $25. Generic brands or basic store brands and things like that. And it's for people who are just starting off into rock hounding and stuff like that. Then you have the mid-range, which is anywhere between $30 and $45. And that's for more serious hobbyists and professional shops and things like that. And then you have the premium tier, which is 45 to 75 plus. And these are usually heavy-duty chisel-edged hammers and things like that. So, you know, the idea that you know, Andy wants, I guess, a mid-level. That's more or less what he's asking for at this point. Which makes sense. So Red then tells him that you know, his markup is 20%. So how good are you at math? What would be 20% if or what would be the final total if it's 20% adding to the $7?
Well, that'd be an extra $1.40, so that'd be
That's
$8.40.
right. Okay, I was wrong. It $7 in 1947 is not worth $33. It's worth $105. Where I miscalculated there. So yeah, that's a big difference between the two. So $8.40 from 1947 today would be worth about $126. Okay, so it changes everything that we just said, because he wasn't going for the low tier. He was going for the high tier. Yeah, at the time. But it's like really funny, because he doesn't say what brand he wants. He doesn't say what quality. Maybe in the 1940s you just had one type that was about $7, and that was it.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
Yeah, I guess it only specialized much later in over the years, for that type of thing. And at this point, Red just looks at him and goes, "Well, because it's a specialty item, the risk goes up, the price goes up." He goes, "Let's make it an even $10." So first of all, that's a huge jump. I mean, he's basically charging him a little more than double his normal rate in order to get the specialty item. Because
Yeah.
doing the calculation, $10 is approximately a 43% markup, which is definitely a huge markup. But Andy doesn't even flinch with that. And $10 from 1947 is approximately worth today $150. Okay, so Andy's gonna have to find a way to scrounge around $150 to go pay for this little rock hammer to help with his hot little hobby.
Oh, and another thing I remember reading that was something that's mentioned in the book but not in the film is in the book he actually smuggled in $500 in his
That's
rectum
correct.
into
That's
jail.
correct. And yeah, they didn't need to describe that to us here, which is fine. Certain things you don't need to know. I mean, again, I know because I read in the book that that's how he smuggled it in. You'd think they would have done more thorough cavity searches. And one of the guards would say, "Hey, look, look what I just found."
We don't need him going through a Christopher Walken speech about his pocket
That's
watch.
right. Well, you might get dysentery from it. You never know. And Andy looks at him and goes, "All right, 10 it is." So, again, if he actually let's just go back for a second. If he would have smuggled in $500, let's give that as the round off amount. How much do you think $500 would be worth today?
Well, let's see. That's based on your newer calculations, that's over a 10 that's over a 10 times. So that would be like about 8,000.
7,500, 7,500. But I guess Andy really needed to make sure that he was he would have what to do with. I mean, again, where does he even hide it? Because I don't think he's gonna keep putting it back up there. You gotta find a better place to hide it.
Especially once the sisters get to
That's
him.
true, also. That's right. You don't want bills falling out. So Andy agrees, and Red just looks at him and goes, "Waste the money, if you ask me." And he goes, "Why is that?" Red goes, "Folks around this joint love surprise inspections. If they find it, you're gonna lose it. If they do catch you with it, you don't know me." Which, again, I think also should be the part of the ABC of the whole thing. Of Red telling him something like that. You don't know me, so don't even think of trying to mention my name. But I mean, isn't that the way it usually works when you're doing something illegal? And again, just the fact that he's saying it doesn't mean anything, because he can say to Andy, "Okay, don't use my name. You don't know me." But I'm assuming that Norton and most of the guards know who the people are that are doing the smuggling, that are running the smuggling outfits. So they're looking a blind eye to those type of things anyway. Every so often, you need to
Yeah.
have a little inspection here and there. You need to confiscate stuff like that. But overall, they know that it's Red Yeah, it's either we find that later that Andy goes through a competitor. So you have red, white, and blue that are different people that are smuggling things in for people. You know, that they're the guys that can get you stuff. So I mean, it's not like Norton has to, if he finds something, he knows it's coming from one of, let's say, three places. So it's not as if he's gonna say, oh, well, there's 500 men in Shawshank that know how to smuggle things in. To me, it seems like a given that he should just be saying, don't use my name. You don't know me. Even though Norton later knows that they're as thick as thieves. You know, he knows they're good friends.
Well, I mean, that's the difference between,
Correct.
19
No, of
years
course, of course, of course, of course.
of them working
Of
together.
course.
And this is Andy just, a few weeks into
That's
his
right.
sentence.
Still trying to figure out how to walk properly after he took his $500 out, that type of thing.
Well,
So,
we'll find out how he walks in a minute here later this week.
again, I like the way that they do this. You know, the fact that they're spending so much time in this movie on this conversation, says a lot about the way that they're building this friendship between the two of them. As you know as well as I do, movies generally try to be as conservative as possible with the runtime and with the amount of time that you're going to spend on a particular scene or aspect. Obviously here they felt rightfully so that it's something that's truly needed and will enhance the way that the story is moves along and is being told. So
I mean, we again, just in this short minute, we get a lot of character building for Red himself because, he is kind of a mentor character at this point already because he does give the information about folks around this joint love surprise inspections. That's not something that he had to share with Andy. This is something that he chooses to share, something that benefits Andy in the long term. He's warning Andy about the potential of
Well, he's
surprise
also warning him.
inspections.
He's also warning him about the
And
sisters that he has to grow eyes in the back of his head for that. These are two pieces of free advice that he's given them.
yeah, and he's also but he's also taking the step to cover himself, which, if they catch you with it, you
Right.
don't know me.
It's probably like a
And
standard,
that's
clause that he puts into all his dealings.
yeah, exactly. He's been doing this for a long time already, even at this point, because we see the picture of him when he his mugshot, and he's a much younger man
Well,
in
he's
that
20 years
picture.
younger.
And
He's tw
you'll
20
get to
years.
it, but
He's 20 years. He's been. You know the trivia about
yeah,
that picture,
he's
don't you?
young enough to be
That's
his
right. I was
own
going to say,
son.
you know the trivia. And his son is also in the movie. He has a small little cameo also. And his son even did a parody of The Shawshank Redemption, which I watched about a month and a half ago. It was pretty funny. It's called
Interesting.
The Shark Tank Redemption. It's a 25-minute short. It was interesting. And obviously not as good as Shawshank, but it takes the idea of Shawshank and tries to put it in the real world type of thing. It's interesting. And with that, we end this minute. So, is there anything else you wanted to add about this particular minute?
No, I don't
Okay.
think so.
So today's segment is called Midweek Morgan, where my guest will give their top five Morgan Freeman performances.
All right. Let's see. For my number five, I will go with Wanted, which I that's a really fun movie, fun comic book action movie. And he plays, it's one of the rare instances where he plays a villain. I guess spoiler alert, because he's you don't
Oops.
find out he's a villain until but yeah, I love him and Wanted, and it's nice to see him, play that turn, because he's usually like a good guy in most of the movies that I can think of. My number four, I will go with him in Unforgiven, which I don't, it's been a while since I've seen that movie, so I don't remember, have a strong memory of it anymore, other than I remember really enjoying the movie. And then my number three, I'll go with Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. You know, he plays a great character in
Azim.
that. And then my number two, I will go with the Lego movie. I think that he is so funny as Vitruvius, and I always, I just recently I caught the trivia again where, you know, one of my favorite lines in that movie is like, "You're gonna have to write all that down. I can't remember all that," and which was something that Morgan Freeman was actually saying about the script, but they left it in and kept it as part of the Vitruvius character. And then my number one, of course, I gotta go with Seven. You know, he that is like an iconic Morgan Freeman role, and you know, a fantastic movie. And that's another like all-time favorite movie, but that's also one that I haven't revisited in a long time for various reasons. You know, not just the fact that it's, you know, it's a pretty dark movie that can be a tough watch, you know, because it is just so dark from start to finish. And then you also have the kind of Kevin Spacey of it all, you know, kind of tainting the movie on the real life
Right.
front a little bit, but it's
Okay.
still a fantastic
Very cool.
movie.
All right, we will now play the two daily games. So we're going to start off with Name That Novel Adaptation. Let's spin the wheel and see what you get. All right, this is a movie from 1951, and the novel is called An American Tragedy.
All right, so 51. Yeah, my fortunately my pre-70s knowledge is it's relatively sparse, so not
Okay.
nothing's coming to
So
my head right away.
it stars Montgomery Clift, and it is directed by George Stevens.
Unfortunately, that's
Okay.
not any
All right.
help for
The
me.
answer is A Place in the Sun.
Okay, yeah, I
Okay.
would not have pulled that one. Not,
That's okay.
it's out of my wheelhouse.
Understood. Right. So now let us play the other daily game of High Low. All right, your first one is the 2008 film The Reader.
This is one that I am not familiar with. So this is just a blind guess.
You've never heard of it, or you just don't, you've never seen it?
It doesn't ring a bell at all for me. It's as
It's a
something.
Kate Winslet movie. It's the movie that Kate Winslet won her Oscar for. It's about a German woman who has an affair with a teenager.
Yeah, it's complete blank. So this is just a wild guess for me. I will go IMDb 7.0 and Rotten Tomatoes. I'll go 78.
IMDb is 7.6, so you undershot that one a bit. But Rotten Tomatoes is 63. So I guess a lot of reviewers didn't really like the movie. All right, let's spin the wheel again. All right, the 2007 film Juno.
Okay, I feel like this is one Diablo Cody is hit and miss for a lot of people. There's a lot of people that love it, but a lot of people that hate it. So I'm gonna say IMDb is 6.8, Rotten Tomatoes 75.
Okay, you undershot both of those by a lot. IMDb is 7.4, and it has a 94% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which is very high. Wow. Think about that. It's higher than Shawshank. Again,
Yeah, that's a little
it
surprising.
depends also on how many
But
reviews there are. My assumption is there are more reviews. Yeah, I
I
like
do
the
like the
movie too.
movie.
It's a little quirky, but I wouldn't think that it would be in the 94th percentile. That type of thing. Okay, let's spin the wheel for your final one today. All right, the 1964 film Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Love the Bomb.
Right. I feel like this one is pretty sure it's in the IMDb top 250. So I am going to say it's 8.8 IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes. I'm going to say 96.
And you are very, very close on both of those. It's 8.4 and 98. Obviously, makes a lot of sense for Dr. Strangelove. So, Bubba, would you like to tell everyone where they can find you once again?
Sure. Today is Wednesday, so on Wednesdays is when my podcast Anthological releases. So you can listen to a new episode on that today, where every episode is a completely different hosting team. It's a podcast that I produce and only occasionally host. I typically only show up once per season or occasionally once per movie. So sometimes I'll show up twice in a season if we are doing multiple movies, but we take an anthology movie and break it down one segment at a time, and each segment has different people talking about it. So it's kind of a group project, and that's been a lot of fun. We don't stick to any one genre. We started out with Fantasia. We've done Creepshow, Monty Python's The Meaning of Life, Sin City, 1 and 2. Tales from the Crypt and Vault of Horror. And then right now we are towards the end of our sixth season, which is Mel Brooks, which, as we're recording this, he just turned 100 years old today. We are doing his History of the World Part One. And I think when this comes out, we're a little over halfway through that. So that's been a lot of fun producing that and occasionally hosting, and that's I get to be a listener on a lot of these, and there are some really interesting directions that the hosts take each segment. So it's a really nice podcast that
Oh wow. Wait,
I'm
so
pretty
you do
proud
the
of.
editing of them also, or everyone edits them themselves?
I do the editing. I mean, not occasionally. The hosts will edit them. Give me a mostly edited project. In fact, one person that I want to shout out, because he did a fantastic job, October Pod, for our Tales from the Crypt season. They did the segment, Poetic Justice from Tales from the Crypt, which is the Peter Cushing episode, and they did like a fully produced segments. They have background music. They have, they have talk about interviews with Peter Cushing, and they actually got a voice actor to play the role of Peter Cushing, and they add the kind of scratchy vintage audio aspect that is, they went all out on the production of that episode, and that's really fantastic one to listen to, especially, to get to learn more about Peter Cushing. And he had just lost his wife the year before doing that movie. And he plays a widower in that segment, and it's really fascinating to
All right.
listen to.
Wow, that's amazing. Nice shout out to them. Nice job. Right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Midnight. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on my website, moviearoundmidnight.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundmidnight@moviearound.net. So, until tomorrow, get busy living.
Or get busy dying.